You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Hello, Dodger fans, and welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends. With me is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, this week's seems to be going by a little faster than normal, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe it's just compared to last week. With last week seemed to between the Mookie stuff and the Astro stuff, seemed like there was so much stuff that the week lasted forever. And this week it's just kind of almost business as usual in some ways. So
yeah, just how we like it, business as usual. We are here to talk about a couple notes from Dodgers camp. And then we are going to get into some mailbag questions. We put out a call really late before we recorded. We got a lot of questions. So we will split them into the next two episodes. So if you don't hear your question today, or if you have a question to add, you still have some time to do so. But before we do that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car in the morning, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. Also, this podcast today is sponsored by Arizona Tourism. Make sure you get out to spring training now that the Dodgers are out there and games start this weekend. Make sure you get out there and try everything Arizona has to offer, not just spring training, but restaurants and hikes and trails and everything else you could need to have a little mini vacation. So check out visitarizona.com/springtraining to start planning that trip. Okay, Jeff. So a little news from Dodgers camp on a guy that I honestly didn't really remember, other than when someone brought him up as a potential trade bait guy to the Red Sox, and that's Yadier Alvarez. He was placed on the restricted list last year. He is back in camp right now. He will go through spring training with the Dodgers and with the organization, and then they'll decide to do with him after that. He said that he had acted childish in the past and that he's working on resolving those issues and hopefully being able to contribute somehow, some way. So, Jeff, what do you think about Yadier Alvarez?
Yeah, he definitely said the right things. I can think of a team in Houston that may be able to learn a couple things. He didn't blame anybody else for his missteps, or he just apologized and took responsibility. So obviously saying the right things is only the first of very many steps that Alvarez has to take to really give us any hope at all. He used to be a really good prospect. He was, I think it was the Dodgers' top prospect at one point, wasn't he?
If not top, he was definitely top three.
Yeah, I know he was as high as 23rd overall going into 2017. Baseball Prospectus had him at 23rd, and Baseball America had him at 26th. So he was a very highly touted prospect, has really good stuff at times, and he's just had his struggles on the field, which have then turned into off-the-field struggles and maturity issues. But the fact is, he's going to be 24 in a couple weeks. He's still relatively young. And so one thing that they're talking about is the potential for him as a reliever, which maybe, if you had told us 3 years ago, Yadier Alvarez is going to top out as a reliever, we would have been disappointed. But at this point, after we've kind of accepted never getting anything from him, if they can turn him into a reliever, he probably has the stuff to be a really good reliever if they can harness that and harness whatever maturity issues there were. And so I am cautiously almost optimistic about him maybe actually someday contributing to the Dodgers, which is, for all those caveats, that's a big step forward from where we were even last week.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically left for dead, at least in most people's eyes. And, the fact that he is young, like you said, 24, is still relatively young, maybe a little bit older compared to prospects. But coming from, the Cuban side, it's not he. And he hasn't been playing the last few years, so the arm is still relatively young and fresh. And We've seen a little bit of maturity issues with guys from, doesn't matter where they're from, but at least with the Dodgers specifically, you know, Aroa Barrena and, well, Hector Oliveira had a different issue, but, you know, a little bit of maturity issues with guys from Cuba. So this one was a little different. He's, you know, been not too much of a detriment to the team as a whole because he's never been higher than, you know, the lower leagues of the minors. But it'll be interesting to see if he can get back on track and use that arm and, like I said, maybe become something. And definitely his prospects of where he was last week to where he is right now are infinitely higher. So, but again, it's going to be up to him and kind of up to the Dodgers to see how they nurture it and get him ready to go. So we'll see.
Yeah, the tricky part is they're going to have to make a decision because he was on the 40-man roster, and then he's currently on the restricted list, which takes him off the 40-man roster. But if he's actually going to be back at a point where they want him playing in the minors, they have to put him back on the 40-man roster or DFA him. And you have to assume if he's at the point where he's ready to play in the minors, he would probably get snatched up if they DFA'd him. So they would have to make room for him on the 40-man roster, which, you know, We have talked. There's still probably one or two guys on the 40 who could be expendable if they thought Alvarez could contribute. But it'll be interesting to watch over the next few weeks as they have to make that decision.
Yeah. Okay. I'll leave this quick point to you. Andrew Friedman said that if Jimmy Nelson isn't a starter, he could become a Brandon Morrow type reliever. Do you see that kind of ceiling for Jimmy Nelson?
Absolutely. Brandon Morrow was a failed starter who had the stuff to be a really good reliever. Jimmy Nelson, last time he was healthy, was a really good starter. Like, you know, maybe top 10 starters in the National League, something like that. He was clearly the Brewers' best starter. And so even if, you know, whether it's a stamina thing or whatever, even if he's not quite ready to be a starter again, if his shoulder is healthy, and for what he says it is, then I could absolutely see him being a guy who picks up a couple ticks out of the bullpen and comes out firing 98, 99 out of the bullpen and has a couple secondary pitches and just could really, really be an asset out of the bullpen.
Yeah, he definitely has the ability to do so. And at this point, it does seem like he's on the long list to actually crack the rotation. I mean, that's just without seeing him. That's just knowing everyone else around him and in camp. And if he does become that kind of impact guy, then that just adds another arm to that back of the bullpen that the Dodgers have sometimes lacked and sometimes not utilized properly when it comes to crunch time. So, yeah, Jimmy Nelson will be definitely someone to look out for and definitely someone that could be surprising. Okay, so we were going to talk about Andre Ethier, who did an interview with John Wiseman, but there was nothing super pressing in it, so we'll save it for tomorrow's episode, and we're going to go into our Fantasy Minute, and our Fantasy Minute is brought to you by Lee Kamish, and I'm going to talk about Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen, you know, is still a capable reliever for a Dodger team and expected closer for a Dodger team that's expected to win a lot of games. So just based on that volume of wins, the number of saves he has should be relatively higher than most other relievers. I do think he has a better fantasy outlook for this year than he did last year, just based on the fact that we believe in him and we think that he tried to fix whatever he had going wrong. Last year, he worked with Driveline. You know, he had a fully healthy go of it. They are planning to use him more often this spring in order to get him ready to go once the season starts. So I plan, and I expect the Dodgers to win a lot of games. So I expect Kenley Jansen to be a valuable closer this season. What are you doing for the game? A universal question. Whether you're a casual follower, somebody that tweets everything, a beginner, a diehard, an analytics and stats nerd, a smack talker, just a guy there for some appetizers, a guy that doesn't really care but cares about competition. We all have our place in the sports world. The same personalities apply to fantasy sports, and Lee Kamish exists to ensure your fantasy sports experience is the best one for you. We match managers to leagues as we lay the foundation for your new league. It's as easy as signing up with your preferences, getting matched, and approving of that match before any commitment on your end. So right now, you can sign up with League Commish by February 29th and receive 15% off by entering the code LOCKEDON in the referred by section of the sign-up form. The first 25 people to sign up using our code receive their first match free. So what are you doing for the game? Find your next fantasy sports league at leaguecommish.com and stay locked on Dodgers. All right, let's get into this obscure former Dodger. I'm pretty sure we haven't done this guy, and it's a guy that has ended up sticking around longer than I thought in the league. He came up as a 22-year-old with the Dodgers in 2015, and he only played in 8 games. He only had 6 at-bats, but he did have 2 hits in those 6 at-bats. Then he ended up going to be a pretty decent contributor to the Yankees for 3 years and ended up being with the Twins last year but didn't play that much. And that's Ronald Torres, who is listed as 5'8", 151 pounds. That might be a little generous on his end. But yeah, I mean, he's held an OPS of 678, not too great, but a batting average of 279 with a high of 292. In 2017 in 108 games for those Yankees. So definitely a guy that I didn't expect to be in the league this long, and he's been able to keep it pushing. And not really too many memories of him as a Dodger other than him being very, very small guy. So, Jeff, you got anything on Ronald Torres?
Yeah, I have tweeted about Ronald Torres 3 times. On September 16, 2015, I said, I think Ronald Torres could fit in Jose Altuve's pocket. On August 24, 2017, the best part of the Yankees-Tigers brawl was watching Ronald Torres trying to see what's going on from outside the scrum. He could have used a step stool. And then on December 9, 2017, which was right after the Yankees traded for Giancarlo Stanton, I said, Ronald Torres is going to get accidentally stepped on in the dugout so many times. Sorry, little fella. Didn't see you down there. So apparently I only have one thought about Ronald Torres, and it is my same thought that I have about Alex Bregman.
There you go. So Ronald Torres, Alex Bregman, the same in Jeff's mind.
Except Torres admits that he's short.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so we took a lot of questions. We got a lot of questions on Twitter from you listeners, so we're going to get right into them. We'll start off with a couple quick ones, and then we'll get into a little bit more developed questions. So, Jeff, the first question comes from Roger with a D at Nas4News. He asked, will we ever see Andrew Tolles again?
First of all, wouldn't Roger with a D be pronounced Dodger? Ha ha, get it? I had a roommate in college named Mark, and he always said, it's Mark with a C, so we just called him Kark. But anyway, unfortunately, Roger with a D, I do not think we will ever see Andrew Tolles again. A week ago right now, I would have said we'd never see Yadier Alvarez again either. But we don't have any idea what's going on with Tolles, but it's been so long, and from all accounts, there's no end in sight. So unfortunately, I think Andrew Tolles' life as a professional baseball player might be over. So, all right, quick one for you, Vince, from Bryce Patrick, who is, I believe, one of the hosts of Locked On Rangers, I think. He says, hey, Vince, first time, long time. Is Mookie Betts good?
Well, Bryce, I do believe Mookie Betts is good. And I do believe everyone else thinks he's good. And he is, without a doubt, a top 5 player in the league. Maybe even top 3, depending how you feel about it. So to pair that with Cody Bellinger is exciting for us Dodger fans. So, yes, Mookie Betts is good. And that makes the Dodgers even more good.
Yes, more good.
Yeah. So, right. Next question from Tom at Gallon Don't. He asks, who do you guys think has the better year offensively, Will Smith or Gavin Lux?
I have a tricky kind of non-answer for this. I think Gavin Lux will probably have better offensive numbers, but I wouldn't be surprised if Will Smith is more valuable offensively just because the bar is lower for catchers. And so whatever Will Smith provides from the catching spot on offense is, you know, probably each little bit of production is 30% more valuable coming from a catcher than from a second baseman. And so in that way, I think Will Smith is maybe going to be the bigger deal. But I think Gavin Lux is going to have a great season. You know, we've talked about this before. You and I don't necessarily disagree or don't necessarily agree, Vince, on whether Lux is going to have many big struggles. But yeah, I expect Lux to basically have a pretty solid season all year long, and at the end of the year be a top contender for Rookie of the Year. But Will Smith, I expect him to maybe not quite show as much home run power as he had last year, but I still think he'll be hitting the ball hard, and so I think we're going to see a lot of good things from both of those guys. So there's a good non-answer for you. Next one for you, Vince, from Sam Scherer at Sam_Scherer99. Do you think the Dodgers should trade Jock, probably for pitching or any value before he leaves, and have Matt Beatty platoon with AJ Pollock?
I am officially out of the trade Jock boat. I was already out before the this past offseason, but I was in it again for a little bit just because I thought he was going to get traded, and now I'm back out of it. I think at this point, you know, the Dodgers are over the luxury tax. We're not worried about that. If anything, they would bring on more money if they go after a starter or maybe another high-impact reliever. So throwing all that out the window, I think this is Jock's last year in L.A., but I think you go with him and you have the most dominant lineup, potentially most dominant lineup against right-handed pitching that there would be in the entire league, not just the National League. And, you know, you keep Jock in that lineup and you try to get another 30, 35 home runs out of him, maybe even more, depending how things go and where he's placed in the lineup. Plus, I don't think he would bring back too much value if he was going to bring back any type of value in terms of pitching or, you know, mostly pitching. I think they would have already have done that. And since they haven't done that, I think that means that the value that maybe some people might think they could get out of Jock is not quite there. And he's probably more valuable to the Dodgers at this point than to any other team in terms of, you know, what he brings specifically to the team.
Yeah, I agree with every single word you just said, Vince.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is great. All right, Jeff, your next question is from Jacob Norling at Jacob Norling. He asks, in a perfect world, who would be your number one choice to play World Series hero when the Dodgers finally get it done, and why?
This is like the easiest question for me to answer, and I feel like everybody would have the same answer. I don't know if that's true, but for me, it's Clayton Kershaw, and it's not even close. Kershaw has carried the Dodgers in the regular season for so long, and he has pitched really well in the postseason at times and had his bullpen let him down or his manager let him down. And, you know, he's pitched really well and then had the Astros cheat against him, which made it look worse, you know. So for me, the only mark on Clayton Kershaw's entire career record is his postseason performance at times. And so I would love for the Dodgers to win the World Series on the back of Clayton Kershaw just having a dominant entire postseason, and, you know, being that guy standing on the mound, you know, whether it's a complete game or if they, you know, if it's game six and he just pitched game four and they let him come in and pitch the ninth when they're winning 8-1, you know, just so that he can be the guy on the mound celebrating when they win, you know, whatever it is. Clayton Kershaw redemption story is something I dream about every night, and that's only a slight exaggeration.
Yeah, just thinking about it gives me goosebumps.
Yep, absolutely. All right, next one for you, Vince, from B. Holmes at B. Holmes Says. Who is the surprise guy or rookie who makes an impact this year? And also, when are you, Vince, going to come up to Utah and do a live podcast with Jeff? I guess B. Holmes is a fellow Utahan.
Yeah, well, I guess, Jeff, I guess you're reason enough to go to Utah for a live podcast.
I've got a guest room, Vince. You're welcome anytime.
Yeah, we might have to make that happen when, maybe this year. Maybe once Ogden gets started up and we can catch some baseball and talk some baseball. So we'll plan on that. In terms of the surprise guy, a rookie that makes an impact this year, it's hard to see anyone coming out of the woodworks. The Dodgers roster is pretty set in terms of, you know, who they have on there and who's going to play and everything else. They don't really have room for a surprise guy. But I'm going to go with a guy who was already a surprise guy before, but I think he's going to be a second surprise guy, and that's Caleb Ferguson. I think he's going to get back to his form that he was a couple years ago when he was dominant and kind of that lefty reliever in the hole that they could use for whatever they needed, whether to get lefties out or to get righties out or to go multiple innings. So I think I'm going to count on Caleb Ferguson to be a surprise guy for the second time around.
I could see that.
Yeah. Okay, Jeff, your last question is from Thump with a V at @high_thumper. Again, with a V. Do you think that all this Astros cheating news will distract anyone in the Dodgers clubhouse, or do you think it'll be used as motivation for the upcoming season? Also, do you hope Astros hitters are thrown at, and if so, to what frequency?
The first part of the question, I think my answer is none of the above. I definitely don't think it'll be a distraction. And since the Dodgers don't play the Astros this year and don't even play in the same league as them, it's hard to see them using it as much motivation. I expect that from a Dodgers standpoint, within another week or two, unless we find out more stuff, but I think this is all going to die down. And by the time the regular season gets started, for sure, the Dodgers are going to basically be like me and barely remember that the Astros exist. And, you know, if they end up facing them in the World Series again, then maybe it all flares up again, and maybe then they would use it as motivation. But I don't see any reason for them to use it as motivation during the regular season because they don't play them, and the Dodgers have Dodgers don't need to pretend to be an underdog because they're a team that won 106 games last year and then went and traded for Mookie Betts. So the Dodgers have plenty to focus on that has nothing to do with the Astros. As for the part about whether I hope the Astros hitters are thrown at, and if so, what frequency, I don't. I don't really. I mean, I won't be heartbroken if Alex Bregman wears one once in a while, but I don't in general believe in throwing at hitters, if for no other reason, even if you disregard the safety thing, even if you say, okay, pitchers have perfect aim, they can hit them in the butt every time, it's not going to cause an injury, which is not true, but, you know, even if we granted that, the fact is, every time a guy gets hit by a pitch, he gets to go to first base, and I would rather have the revenge be striking them out than hitting them with pitches. I don't want people throwing at them, even just from a practical standpoint, I think.
You're so nice.
I know. It's my old age, you know. all right, your last question, Vince, from Austin at Austin Sorensen. What role will Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor play on the 2020 Dodgers?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. We both didn't believe that they both would be here right now, and they both made it through. And at this point, I don't think any of them have an inside track on any type of starting role, although that doesn't mean they won't be starting multiple times a week, hopefully more so in the Chris Taylor than the Kike at this point. But, you know, Kike might have a stretch where he plays hot and gets an extra playing time. But they'll just be filling in wherever they need, whether it's infield or outfield. If Gavin Lux struggles at all, I could see maybe Taylor or Kike getting some extended time at second base if need be. Or if A.J. Pollock struggles, you know, one of them could get extended time in left field against left-handed pitching if need be. So they'll just be filling in kind of like they have in more recent years, or in the last couple years, but less so with the ability to, you know, become a kind of not a full-time starter, but a majority starter. Kike started as that last year. CT3 ended up playing into that spot last year, and then they both ended up, you know, kind of giving way to Gavin Lux and whoever else played. So I think it'll be more of the same of that. They'll still get maybe 2 to 3 starts a week, if that. And fill in where they need to fill in, whether it's defensively or offensively with a pinch hit opportunity.
Yep. Yeah, I'm still surprised they're both on the team, but, you know, it's a good problem to have, I guess.
Yeah. So, Jeff, that will do it for these questions. We have, like I said, there's more questions tomorrow, but we'll take those tomorrow. So if you have any more questions, feel free to drop them in as the day goes. And we will come back tomorrow to also talk about Andre Ethier's interview with John Wiseman and some what he had to say about the Astros Stein stealing scandal. Jeff, got anything else to add before we head out?
No, I just want to shout out our listeners. That was, you know, you and I, we texted about a half hour before we started recording, said, I wonder if we could get enough questions to do a mailbag. And boom, we got more than enough. And I think maybe we underestimated the fact that now that spring training has started, there's a lot to talk about that our listeners are interested in. So thank you guys for shooting out the awesome questions. And yeah, you guys are the best.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for providing us questions. Like I said, we'll be back tomorrow to finish out the week with Ethier and more questions. If you like the show, please show us, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, download, listen, rate, review, all that good stuff. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you want to submit a question or concern or something. You can also do that with the call or a text at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!